Yo, welcome to Crypto 101, the average consumer's guide to cryptocurrency. This is Matthew Aaron, and today we are sitting down with Mr. Jimmy Jong, the CEO of IOST, and he's going to give us a 101 on their project. Their project just went mainnet a couple weeks ago, so we're going to talk about his progress, we're going to talk about what they're doing, and we're going to talk about their product. But before we get into that conversation, please go to crypto101podcast.com. Their entry in your email with the pop-up that is there and claim your free book. Crypto Revolutions is going to be out soon, and I want to send you a copy to inspire and lead the charge of bringing people into the cryptocurrency, blockchain, digital asset space so we can together shape the future. So go to crypto101podcast.com and put in your email to be notified when we're ready to ship that book. Also, on the page, you can find our Twitter, our Instagram, our Facebook, join our groups, and be involved with a good community that's willing and ready to share knowledge with you. Follow us on Twitter at crypto_101, and also think about becoming a patron. Patrons, we're starting a video series that is going to be released soon on YouTube, but I'm going to give you a sneak peek, and I've already put out one of those episodes on Patreon just for you guys, so you can see the conversations we're going to have with the guests we're going to have on this new channel. So please check it out. And if you are not a patron, think about becoming a patron so you can get access to this content and much more. And we also have a couple announcements for a couple conferences that we're involved with and we want you to know about. First, the Ethereal Summit, May 10th and 11th in New York for 20% off. See the link in the description with our promo code to get 20% off your tickets to Ethereal. And also, if you're a developer or just an enthusiast and you're going to be in San Diego June 5th to June 7th, you can come to DevZilla Conference and see and interact with speakers such as Nick Szabo. Use promo code Crypto101 for 10% off. Website link and promo code in the description. Like always, this is not financial advice, trading advice, legal advice, or personal advice. Enjoy IOST 101 with Mr. Jimmy Jong, and we will see you after the show. Jimmy Jong, CEO and co-founder of IOST. Welcome to Crypto 101, sir.
Thank you for the interview. Hey, guys.
No worries. Thank you for waking up so early. Where are you based, sir?
So I'm currently in Beijing right now. So normally I stay here for 2 weeks, then 2 weeks in New York. We have office in New York City and Beijing, and yeah, actually a lot of other countries too. But most of our folks are here.
Okay, excellent, excellent. I lived in Beijing for about 6 years. I really love the city. Before we go and get into your project, I want to say congratulations on the mainnet launch. When people are listening to this right now, I don't know when it is, but this is 1 day after you launched the mainnet. So congratulations. How is everything going?
Things are doing pretty well. Team has been busy for the last 2 weeks. I think finally, for the first time, we have a product. I think the hardest question to answer in the last year would be, you know, people normally ask you, hey, so what can IOST be used for? Back then were ERC-20 tokens. So to be honest, not much, right? Right now, finally, we launched our own platform and we're completely independent from Ethereum. And people will be able to play with IOST and actually try things out on IOST starting March.
Excellent, excellent. So now the hardest question is going to be to answer, what is IOST supposed to do and how you build on it? But before we go into that question, I want to know a little bit about you, sir, and your background.
Yeah, of course. So I was born here in Beijing. I went to US for college, stayed there for roughly 7 years, I believe. And my first startup when I was in college in the Emory University, Atlanta, Georgia. Started an ad tech company there. We sold the company for $30 million, 30 to 40 actually.
Holy shit.
When I graduated.
Congratulations, yeah, man. not bad for a college student, yeah?
Yeah, not bad at all. And in the year of 2017, I came back to Beijing. So that's when we started IOST with a lot of awesome co-founders of mine, including folks from Princeton and the previous champion of NOI or IOI. So we started this team in 2017. I think right now it's a little bit over a year and a half.
Cool. And you, what did you major in college and why did you decide to go into the blockchain technology? Did you just see yourself as going into an industry that's going to be lucrative in the future? Or what is it about blockchain that took you to this industry?
Yeah, so when I was in college, actually, in the year of 2013, that's the first time I've heard of Bitcoin. Actually, I heard it from my professor, my computer science professor. I was a CS major, of course. And, you know, he was telling me that there's this one cool thing called Bitcoin that, you know, for the first time in human history, you get to possess your own assets, and it's also easy to carry, right? I think in the past thousands of years, people had assets that are easy to carry, like, you know, the cash you have in your banks right now, you can, you know, basically carry those digitally, but you don't really own them, right? Or you can have, you know, physical cash or gold or things like that, and you own them, but it's very hard to carry. And I think Bitcoin, you know, has a feature where, you know, to be honest, although it's not recommended, you can remember your private key or your mind. So you can pretty much carry as much cash as you want or as much value as you want. So, you know, we figure, hey, that's such a cool thing. You know, there was no concept or you know, a word like blockchain mentioned back then. We were just into Bitcoins until the year of 2015, where, you know, Vitalik launched Ethereum. And we checked out, hey, you know, blockchain is actually a technology, it's actually, you know, a thing beyond cryptocurrency, right? Like, you can use blockchain for, you know, something else. That's the first time I started to think about it. But I think since then, it's been a very fascinating term or technology for us. And we want to know that, you know, beyond the traditional internet startups or the traditional internet business, what can we do, right? Can we still do something that's so innovative that we can still, you know, change a lot of things? Then, you know, we think blockchain is our choice. So that's how we got started. I mean, of course, there were frustration with Ethereum for not being, you know, upgraded properly over years. And, you know, we figured there might be better platforms that can deliver the original vision of Vitalik's in a better way.
Right on, right on. So now you have your project IOST. What does IOST stand for?
So IOST stands for Internet of Services. So originally we had this name because we were actually a little bit frustrated with a lot of projects back then in 2017 trying to launch a crypto project in a space that doesn't make sense at all. So assuming you're buying a car, it really doesn't matter too much about how secure you're processing your payment. If I don't just give you the car, you still sue me in the courts. So blockchain is not a cure for everything, right? I think in 2017, especially during the hype, it was a little bit crazy. People expect blockchain to do literally everything, right? So that's not realistic. So we want to make it clear that, you know, we think it is, to be honest, it probably only applies to that, you know, value can only be exchanged online or, you know, industries that are related with, you know, online service. That's how we, you know, started this name, IOST.
Why the T? Services doesn't have a T.
You know, T stands for token because IOST is the name of the token. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. When you started this, what was your intention? What is your roadmap and goal for IOST? Where do you envision it? Now that you went through the whole ERC-20 process, the development, the test net, now you've launched your main net. What do you see IOST doing with the blockchain?
You know, I think right now, talking about the current stage, we are the fourth platform that you can actually use to play the app with a proper user base and ecosystem right after Ethereum, EOS, and Tron. And among those four platforms, including IOST, we are the first scalable and decentralized solution out here. So that's the original goal. The original goal is to create the first scalable and decentralized solution, because there are decentralized solutions that's not scalable, like Ethereum. And there are scalable solutions, but not decentralized, like EOS, right? So we want to go in there and actually build a solution, which, you know, I think decentralization is definitely the key of a blockchain project. If you're not decentralized, you know, you can just have a centralized server and be a ton faster, right? But you lose the point. So that's basic, you know, point here. We have to be decentralized. And in the same time, we want to scale to a level, a layer one, where we can be significantly faster than Ethereum. I'm talking about super low latency. I'm talking about, you know, thousands of transactions per second, not unrealistic medians, but at least thousands on layer one. And we've done that, right? And I think today we can probably say that we actually have a platform that can actually do this.
What does scalability mean? Now, I know a lot of people say, I'm going to be scalable, but when it comes to blockchain and these platforms, we have to put into context. Because if you say that, if somebody says, okay, we have a platform and it's going to be scalable and we have the fast TPS, you know what, and then you try to do 1111 Taobao sales, it's impossible. You can't do that on the blockchain. You cannot do trading on the blockchain because the TPS just will never be as fast as some of the fastest centralized servers, especially the ones that Alibaba have. So what does scalability mean? Is it in terms of speed? Is it in terms of storage? What does that mean?
So I think scalability here means low latency and transactions per second from a general perspective while we talk about blockchain-related projects. Right. So we'll talk about them one by one. So if you look at Ethereum, for example, right, if I send you a transaction or, you know, we execute a smart contract, normally it takes a little while to confirm everything. Right. So that's how we call latency here. And if you look at EOS, this process is, I would say, you know, 20, 30 times faster, if not even more. Right. And on the other hand, you know, if you look at EOS from a layer one perspective, you're looking at a few thousand transactions per second, where Ethereum, you're looking at, you know, 20, 30. So basically, you know, Vitalik has been talking about scaling up Ethereum for a long time. And they met multiple problems. We can talk about it in a little bit. But the key here is that we think on layer one, even without layer two things like Lightning Network, if you want to support smart contract, you can't just have all your developers, all your applications on your platform to share a pity, say 20 transactions per second altogether, right? And you cannot have transactions confirmed in say 5, 10, 20, 30 minutes. It just doesn't work. So we think, you know, right now it's too early to talk about, hey, we're going to have, you know, a gazillion of transactions per second. We're going to, you know, confirm transactions in 0.00001 second. It's too early. There aren't enough users in blockchain yet. But, you know, to make this thing usable, that's why you actually see a lot of the apps coming on EOS right now. And to be honest, they're way more user-friendly compared to the ones launching on Ethereum because you just don't have the infrastructure there. If you need 5 minutes, 10 minutes to confirm a transaction, if every transaction you have to wait for a long time, how can you actually do things properly, right? Even with a very small user base, I'm talking about hundreds, not even thousands, right? So it's a process. We're not obsessed with TPS, you know, bragging about 100 million TPS in a very unrealistic way. But we think in order for a platform to basically survive, not to mention thrive, right? You actually have to build a usable one. And of course, decentralization is nice. And, you know, when we talk about Bitcoin, I just don't think it actually needs to scale that much because it's literally for transaction purpose, right? And you can combine that with layer two solutions, exchange, a lot of other things. It's like you don't have to transfer gold in a super efficient way. But, you know, if you actually want it for payments or if you actually want it for smart contract, if you expect a lot of applications built on top of it, you know, you have to expect, I mean, a very decent throughput here where, you know, I think a minimum line here, you have to get to a few thousand transactions per second on layer one. That means combining with layer two, potentially you can support maybe up to a million, half a million. But of course, it takes a little bit of time to develop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So your platform is going to be a platform to create dApps on or dApps, however you want to pronounce them. And why would people go to your platform over, say, Ethereum, EOS, or Zilliqa, or any other platform that's being made and that is also working on these solutions that you just presented?
So as we talked about, actually, today, we are the fourth platform that you can actually choose. I know there are a lot of platforms, including Zilliqa and other platforms, saying they've launched the mainnet, but none of them is actually usable. Some of them are still under quote-unquote test mode here. For example, Zilliqa, that you cannot even process transactions or smart contract on top of it, so you can't really build anything. And they have the mainnet launch, but it's a very beta mainnet. We have everything here on LSD instead. We have the virtual machine, we have everything, and we're 6 months ahead of our original schedule. So right now, the only three usable platforms with users that you can actually build dApps on would be Ethereum, EOS, and Tron, and IOST is definitely the fourth one here. And on the other hand, you know, as we talked about briefly, we are the first decentralized and scalable solution. Among those three platforms, Tron and US are basically the same thing. They're all dedicated proof of stake, DPoS, which one of them has 17 supernodes, the other one has 21. And Ethereum, you know, we know what's going on with that. It's just, you know, the scalability issue, and it's just quite slow, and latency is too high, although it's being pretty decentralized with 30 or 40,000 nodes. And I want to see here, first time you've got a platform that can be even faster than US because we've got better virtual machine. And you can get to a few thousand transactions per second with thousands of nodes, right? And that's very impressive. Right now, we'll start with hundreds of nodes because we just got started like a few days ago. But this year, hopefully we can get to a four-digit number of nodes and building a truly decentralized platform. And of course, nodes are only from the practice or the technical perspective. But if you take it to a deeper level, for users or the app developers to actually use or build the apps on top of IOST, I think the most important thing here is the ecosystem too, right? So in the year of 2018, we also started a $50 million fund with a lot of VCs and LPs here in Asia to support the ecosystem that IOST is going to have in the future. We've invested in multiple teams, working with multiple teams closely. Right now, we're proud to say that starting March, by the end of March, we're going to have 30 or 40 dApps on IOST ready with games, decentralized exchange, stable coins, and other things too. So that's very exciting. And we actually have a lot of secret plans here trying to bring a lot of users outside of crypto into the dApps world. Because to be honest, dApps are very problematic these days. There aren't enough users simply because the barrier is too high, the games or the applications are boring, and we're fixing the problem, right? So, you know, we can say this with confidence. Starting mid-late March, you will see dApps on IOST doing really, really well, and the transactions and volume will actually go up to the level where US has right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What puts you ahead of schedule? You said that you are 6 months ahead of schedule. Is it manpower? Is it the resources that you had? Is it a community? You must have had a lot of developments. You must have had a lot of successes. There must have been not a lot of setbacks, which usually happens in blockchain development. How did you get so ahead of schedule?
I think, you know, we have a great team, and that's the simple answer. Most of the team these days, they have, say, 10, 20 people max. We have over 100 people, a little bit over 100 people globally right now, roughly 30 in New York and 60 here in Beijing, and the rest of them are marketing folks in Korea, Japan, Singapore, and Vietnam. So basically, all the developers here working at IOST full-time, they were, you know, either gold medalists or silver medalists from the previous, you know, IOI, ACM competitions. And most of them come from the best universities all over the globe, including Princeton, Stanford, Tsinghua in China, and also some other universities from different countries. So I think, you know, we've been working super hard in the last year because we know, although, you know, the market is pretty, you know, chilled out right now, it's still a pretty competitive landscape, that we want to have our product early instead of, to be honest, all the other projects, they figure out so many excuses to delay their process. Takes them, you know, 3 months longer to launch the mainnet, and then they don't support anything. They wait 6 months again for them to support the virtual machine, the smart contract. There are gazillion excuses, and we don't have any of that. We say original plan was we're going to launch in, I think, Q3 2019. Right now, we're at Q1, and we already have the platform with all the features we wanted to support, right? As we talk about, it's a full platform that you can build the apps, you can build smart contract, it can process transactions, of course. It has everything you want.
That sounds pretty bullish on your project, because the way that you positioned it already is you said that everybody else has excuses. You have a product. You have something that people can use and build on right now. You also said there's only 100 nodes in your decentralized network. Where are those nodes? Who owns those nodes? And are those set up by community members globally, or are they set up by you and employees? How are you decentralized at the moment? Because this is one of your value propositions. This is why you said that you are not EOS. How is this set up?
As we talked about, we just launched the mainnet. So right now we have, I think, a little bit over 200 candidates with 100 nodes-ish elected. So they're all set up by the community member, of course, right? This year, we're going to roughly, hopefully get to 1,000 nodes, but at least 500. So it takes a little bit of time to develop the whole network, but all of them came from the community, right? We don't really normally, host any nodes here. I think at first, we had a few nodes here just to make sure everything is stable, but everyone can join the network as long as you stake 2.1 million LST or someone stake that token for you. And you can be a node. There's no barrier. And we don't stop you from being a node at all. And we actually help you facilitate the process, right? If you're not technical savvy, because we have some nodes here that were, media, say like ICO alerts, right? I mean, those folks are actually technical, but, we have KOLs or media that's actually not technical. And they still want to be a node, right? So we actually facilitate them and help them become a node by teaching them how to set up a server, help them find third-party server providers, and basically one-click script that can set up everything for them once they have the server set up. So we made it as easy as we can for anyone to join the network. That's the key, right? Because the value here we have is we have a scalable network that's decentralized. So we are trying to make it as decentralized as we can.
I want to go into something I saw when I was doing a little research on IOST, and that is proof of believability. And I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but it made me giggle. And the reason why it made me giggle is that there's proof of all kinds of crap. There's, there's proof of work, proof of stake. I was in ETH Denver and I saw somebody with proof of capacity. I was like, what is this? I mean, there's all these proofs coming up. Sell me on proof of believability. First, can you give me a 101 on what it is and tell me why this is a good idea? And it's not just a marketing ploy of saying another proof to make you differentiated from the others.
In short, proof of believability is the first scalable and decentralized solution that has ever been launched, right? I know there are other theses, but they're either not live or, in your opinion, they're never going to be live in the next 5 or 10 years. So, proof of believability here is very straightforward. Believability here stands for reputation points. We're trying to build a network where for every single node, you have to do work in the network, the transactions you're processing, the time you're being a witness, everything contributes to your quote-unquote reputation or believability points here. And the higher of your points, the higher chance you have to be elected in the committee to reach the consensus. Because in order to scale, Vitalik actually did an interview a few weeks ago with CoinDesk saying that, on layer one solutions, you only have two options, right? Either you have fewer nodes to reach consensus, which is going to be coming from a consensus protocol level, or, you apply sharding. I mean, of course, you can do both, right? At OST here, we are doing both. On the sharding part, we're simply processing transactional sharding. The state sharding takes a little bit of time. I think a smart contract in general has a problem with state sharding in terms of data consistency, but that's a separate talk. But back to the consensus part, in order to actually make the network faster, sharding is actually the same thing. You just can't have 30, 40,000 nodes reaching consensus at the same time, right? So how would you actually make them into smaller groups? This is the same thing like if you have, say, 1,000 people a year, you're like a playground, and you want them to reach consensus on one thing. Of course, it's slow. And if you divide them into groups, it's faster, right? That's sharding. But what is believability here? And what is proof of believability? So basically, among all the nodes here, right, they, say we have 40 people in the classroom. Maybe some people are playing with their cell phone. Maybe some people are just, taking a nap. And some people are listening to the professor or whatever, right? So every single student or every single node here in the network, they have a different, reputation point at, one time epoch here in the network. So say, if you've got a higher chance, like the top 10% of people, the top 10% of nodes, if they have a higher reputation, they will have a higher chance of getting selected into a smaller committee, which we can reach consensus. And once in a while, right after if you get selected to produce a block, we wipe out reputation point. So we make sure that you cannot, reach a monopoly and be the BP forever, right? So basically, you have to start over by being witnessed by processing transactions again, and we can make sure you're active. And of course, there are different variations. There are different things to contribute into the believability points here. If you're interested, you can go on iosc.io. We have an article talking about it there. We actually have a bunch of articles talking about it. you know, everywhere actually, our Medium accounts, on Twitter, you know, Telegram groups. So, you know, we just have this solution figured out, which combined with the, you know, activities you've done on the network, on the blockchain, and we combine this, you know, and we put them into the word believability here, which is, you know, how believable you are, you know, based on your track record, right? And by doing this, we resolve multiple issues, including scalability, because we can always have fewer nodes reach consensus, say the top 10% of people with high reputation, and also the decentralization problem, because this is a very, very fast rotating system where, you know, even you're in the committee this time, once you've done your job, you're out, you have to start over. So you can make sure everyone, you know, has a decent chance, as long as you're active, to be selected into the committee. That's basically the process here. Compared to, you know, the traditional delegated proof of stake, I mean, of course, they every single time they have a small group of people to reach consensus, 17, 20Y or whatever, but they basically stay there forever. Especially for US, you know, you can vote, every single vote can be voted 30 times, right? So the top 21 or 30 nodes, they basically, you know, they are in one group right now and all their votes are overlapped. So once you're elected, you are there, right? So you're basically in the core group forever. And over time, of course, it causes issues. Like, for example, like I know that some European nodes and American nodes on US are actually run by Chinese people. So it's just not a system we want at all. Yeah, there are like probably 5-6 group of people controlling the whole US right now.
When it comes to your tokens, first of all, thank you for explaining that. I appreciate that. And I will also say that I was on your iost.io site, and you do have a lot of resources to help people learn, engage, and interact with your system. I thought that was something that I think more companies should put on their site and make it more ready, just like a 101 page, like a learning center for your project. And I think that you did it really well. So I appreciate that. Looking at your tokens and things like that, because I just had a question and I just want to know how your company was set up. There's 21 billion tokens outstanding and 12 billion tokens in circulation. How is that going to be let out? How are you going to kind of dilute this system as time goes on? And how much is the founders, the co-founders holding of that stack?
I think in the year of 2017, end of 2017, we did a private sale. That's why we have a circulating supply at all. So we sold roughly that much of our token, and we airdropped a few as well, a few percent. So combining them together, you're looking at roughly 12 billion tokens in circulating supply. We didn't do a public ICO, so there was no public sale because of regulatory reasons. So all of our investors were institutional investors, all of them. You know, I mean, of course, in the private sale stage. So including, you know, Sequoia Capital China, Matrix Partners China, and basically all the famous fund you can find here in Asia. So it was pretty successful. I think right now we are not planning to do a second private sale because we have enough fund to, you know, keep the process going. The rest of them are locked in the foundation right now, and we're using them for multiple purposes. For example, this is the first year we launched the mainnet, and the foundation is giving out 2% of token to the partners and nodes, all the nodes we have, to basically make them, you know, work harder, make the incentive even stronger in a bear market, right? So we're using those tokens to incentivize the whole ecosystem. And all the plans will be shared and announced with the community way ahead of time before we do anything. So for example, the current lockup part was announced over a year ago, and till today is still locked. And after the mainnet swap, we're going to have a new lockup plan. So we're always super transparent to the community. I think that's part of the key to the success of a blockchain project. If you check out our Twitter, check out our Telegram groups, you can see that we're super active there. Every single 2 weeks, we publish a very comprehensive weekly report, not a BS one, including our technical improvements, including the ecosystem growth and everything, right? And every single day, we're there talking about the newest update with LST.
Thank you for that. Moving on to general questions, man. I just want your opinion on the space these days. You started your project in a bull market and you developed it in a bear, and now you're launching in a winter. What do you think of the market these days? Are you hopeful? Are you optimistic for the future of Bitcoin price, of the crypto space market cap?
So I have to be frank that we're not the luckiest project, right? So by the time we got listed on, say, Binance, that was end of January 2018. And it's been a very bearish market since then.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there's nothing good for anybody at that point.
But, you know, I think we've done pretty well from a market cap perspective. Not saying, you know, we think it reflects any value at all these days, because we think anything is highly speculative. We're 50-ish, I think, right now, CMC. So I think our community members still love us, even during a bear market. So, you know, in terms of the whole general market condition, I mean, of course, everyone knows it's winter right now. But we think from a technology perspective, it's going pretty well, right? Like the first dab, you know, if we consider CryptoKitty as the first dab, that was the end of 2017, right? Last year, although it's a very bearish market, we've seen a lot of progress being made, you know, on the consumer level or the enterprise level in terms of the use case of blockchain. So we're pretty excited, you know, like we'll be working with multiple, you know, enterprise here in Asia, including the government too, on the blockchain technology. So actually, yeah, we'll be working with the government on multiple things, including the Chinese NASA here, a lot of other institutions. And at the same time, you know, we're working with a lot of developers trying to build things for the customers directly, the consumer market. So we actually think we start to see a lot more use case day by day. So, you know, I think in general, I have a very strong belief in the technology and Bitcoin, of course. Otherwise, we won't be doing what we're doing here in the bear market or in the winter, right? It's simply because we think the next few years will be bullish, not only from a market condition perspective. I think most importantly, we'll see the things we're building right now being used by hundreds of millions of people. I think in the year of 2019, we want to bring people outside of crypto. We want to bring over 100 million people into crypto world, into the IOST ecosystem, you know, let them use the technology. It's not about, you know, brainwash them about, hey, what is IOST? What is blockchain? It's about bringing them into a product that's using the blockchain technology. It's like when you use Google, you don't need to understand how TCP, IP, HTTPS work, right? You just use it. So it should be the same thing for blockchain. You know, when you're using a traditional internet product, whatever, you know, it might be blockchain powered, it might be IOST powered. I think, you know, that's the key here, is to bring technology to the mess.
I wasn't going to ask this question, but you kind of brought it up, and I have to put my opinion in, and I would love to hear your statement from it. Is, you said you were working with the Chinese government, and I think from a lot of people's point of view, the Chinese government is notorious to have some control over a certain project, or have to have some control if they wanted to, say, have a backdoor to get in to manipulate, to to put things maybe in their favor if needed, or control if needed, if in an extreme case. What would you say to people that maybe have that assumption if you're working with the Chinese government and they are going to use your blockchain?
Yeah, so just to answer your question, when we're saying we're working with the government, it's more like we're working with institutions or companies that's related or belongs to the government. For example, you know, we're working with the Chinese NASA, we're more likely working with the drone companies here in China, because they have to basically go with regulation that NASA has, the Chinese NASA has, which was to put on their encrypted data on a third-party blockchain. Right. So there's really not much room for, you know, sensitivity data here. If you're interested, you know, everything's open source on IOST. Feel free to run the full node, get on our GitHub. We don't have anything that's closed source. Every single thing is open source. First of all, there's no room to cheat. Second of all, blockchain really is just a public ledger. It's a public database here that everything is transparent. So, you know, when we're working with enterprise level solutions, we're more likely providing the technology, you know, helping them resolve some difficulties. It's not like we're building a cell phone or, you know, or software that you use every single day and we're trying to steal data from you. There's just simply no room for that.
Right, right. Before I ask this last question, I want to say, Jimmy, thank you very much for coming on, giving us a 101 on IOST. And I wish you luck in the future. And congratulations on the 6 months ahead of schedule mainnet.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Last question I want to ask you is, what is my friend over in Beijing listening to? What three songs would you like to put on the Crypto 101 Spotify playlist?
So I'm a big fan of electro music, so anything is fine. I think to put on a podcast, not to be too hardcore, you can maybe pick some sounds from Alan Walker.
Alan Walker?
Not a big fan of EDC, are you?
All right, well, I must be missing out. Norwegian DJ, gotcha. All right, Jimmy Jong, CEO and co-founder of IOST, thank you very much for coming on Crypto 101, sir.
All right, thank you so much, man.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Crypto 101. Mr. Jimmy Jong, CEO of IOST, very nice to talk to you and get to know a 101 on your project. Just remember, at crypto_101 on Twitter to follow us there. Go to our Facebook, Crypto 101 Community. And don't forget to go to crypto101podcast.com. And in the pop-up for your email, enter your email to register to get your free book, Crypto Revolutions, shipped out to you when it is published, to help lead the charge getting people into cryptocurrency during this next run-up. In our next episode of Crypto 101, we have some project updates, and I'm excited to bring those to you. We have on Streamr and Zilliqa. And don't forget, if it's not your keys, it's not your coin. Make sure to pick up a Ledger, a cool wallet S, or some kind of hardware wallet. Store your Bitcoin, your cryptocurrency, your digital assets there, not on exchanges. And happy hodling, everyone. We'll see you in the next episode of Crypto 101.